Well, Lord, let the meditations of my heart be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. Good morning. In the early church, when the monastic movement began, it was men who fled the cities and went out into the deserts. And they were basically, for a long time, they were hermits. They lived by themselves. And they become famous in their areas because of their piety and the fact that God worked miracles through them. So people would travel for hundreds of miles, walking in through the desert and stuff, to come to see these men. And they would come and say, Father, or Abba, Father, just give me a word. And typically that's what these men did. They'd just give them a single word a lot of times. Because if God anoints a single word, it'll speak volumes within our hearts. So sometimes we can get a little bit too caught up in words and not realize to just be listening for that word that God has for our hearts. And so I hope this will be short enough, and I hope God anoints that word. For some of y'all that might not have been here, this is the Passion Translation. And I've learned it. I love reading it, the Psalms out of it, because it's a more of a thought translation, not so much a word by word. And so he tends to recapture some of the poetry and the musicalness of that, what Psalms were really done in. And the words are a little bit different, but when you really compare them to the actual translation, more word for word, it's really, I'm always surprised. I go, oh, that says it, oh, it's really saying the same thing exactly. It's just the use of words are a little bit different to make it sound better. We'll just read from the daily reading today, the 69th Psalm, starting with the 31st verse. For I know, Lord, that my praises mean more to you than all my gifts and sacrifices. All your gentle lovers will see God do this for them, and they'll overflow with gladness. Let this revive your hearts, all you lovers of God. For God does listen to the poor and needy, and will not abandon his prisoners of love. Let all the universe praise him. The high heavens and everyone on earth praise him. Let the oceans deep, with everything in them, keep it up. God will come to save his Zion people. God will build up his cities of Judah. For there his people will live in peace, and all their children will inherit the land. And the lovers of his name will live there safe and secure. What I want to share just very, very briefly is where I've been at now for a little while. Because of our world and what's going on in our world, like the news is just totally horrible anymore. It's people attacking people. People who you would think were smart people. What has got us to this place? And what do we do about it? Because what I've found sometimes is, I get kind of caught up into it. And what I find is the more I get caught up into it, the more I live in despair and depression. So what's the answer for that? And what I've been looking, the words that has been speaking in my heart, and it really spoke to me this morning was, it's about him. And any time that your eyes are not on him, you're going to begin to spiral downwards. And that's why so many times in Scripture it says, talks about being in his presence, cultivating his presence, worshiping him, and like these Psalms here, passionately saying that no matter who you are, the poor, whatever, that God's hearing you and that he's counting your love as more than what you do. Now, sometimes we're caught up into the doing, that if I just do this, I do that, it makes it all work. And it really, if our eyes are not totally on him, then our spiral begins downward. And the farther our gaze departs from his face, the faster that spiral picks up. And so I don't know about for you, but mine always starts in just a little bit. I get caught up into, because when we look at our world, we see so much that is not the kingdom of God or represents the kingdom. It causes my head to hurt. I think too much on those things. And it causes me to spiral. When we look at the world outside of our country, And we see people being murdered relentlessly by terrorist groups all over the world. There's more people being martyred now in this present time than any time in the history of Christianity. And we read of in the Bible the persecutions, and we read the early church history about how horrible the persecutions are. But in our time now, we're seeing greater persecutions than any Christian in history has ever seen. Every country, everywhere you look, it's the same stuff going on. So what's the answer? What's the answer to have an enthusiastic, joy-filled, go-for-it, on-fire life? You know, and it's just so simple. It's Christ Himself. Christ Himself. Residing within us, and that's our hope for glory. An old Pentecostal saying, Father Ronnie, he's an old Pentecostal guy, which this is Father Ronnie Sanders from Tuscaloosa, one of my best friends. But an old Pentecostal saying, you'd hear if you went to an old Pentecostal church, a tent meeting thing, which I did at one time when I moved from Florida to Alabama. I went to everything because I wanted to see what was going on. But one of the old sayings that they'd have is that, not, you know, like, you're not going to steal my joy. And that's what we need to realize, because the Bible is very clear that Satan comes as a roaring lion to kill, steal, and destroy. And so the question is how do you keep that from happening? How do you keep your enthusiasm for Jesus from not being tempered down? Just the other day when we processed in, I was struck by the fact that I was processing in like this. I'm going like, why am I doing that? If I really got it, and this is my confession, I don't always get it. Most of the time I don't get it. But if I really got it, what the procession was representing, you know, then I'd be like rocking, dancing and stuff. I'd be like David. Because you see, the processional, what part of the processional is it represents in the time of Christ, and even in the time of David, when they went to war and they won, they had a procession. You know? And I'm guaranteed the winners of any war don't come in like I do some days. They come in with enthusiasm. And even in our culture, in our time, when our football team wins the national championship and there's a parade given for them, it's a big deal. People are happy and shouting and screaming and having a big time, and because there's enthusiasm in their heart. So how much more should Christ be able to put that kind of enthusiasm in our heart and us be able to keep our eyes focused on Him, then no matter the craziness that goes on around us in our jobs, our families, but none of that should really touch us. If we're children of the kingdom, and if our focus is on Christ and His coming kingdom, that was one of the things that the Lord was teaching me. Is like, how did those guys do it in the very beginning? How did they do that? Yeah. Their eyes was on Christ. Because they didn't have anything. All they had was a culture that was under oppression and being thumbed by the Romans and being killed on a regular basis, because that's just the way the Romans governed. They governed by terror. And so they lived in a culture of terror. And so they didn't have hope in their culture. And so when they found hope in Jesus Christ, that's how they turned the world upside down and changed the course of history in such a short period. May we be followers of Christ and be, as the apostles and early Christians, eyes firmly fixed on that prize of our calling, and that is dwelling face to face in His presence for eternity. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.